Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program that features interviews with some folks I consider to be the best, brightest, and probably the most creative people in the world. Now, during this 30 to 60 minute program, sometimes for 60 minutes, I will ask them about their expertise and work, but mainly want to focus on their inner world, the turning points in their lives, their mentors and influencers, and decisions they made that brought them success. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying matrix or pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious matrix decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these matrix decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered how to access this matrix of hidden decisions by allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on these techniques and methods at www.logicalsoul.com. Also, be sure to click on the follow button at blogtalkradio.com/logicalsoul to get a heads up on all our great interviews coming up. Now, my guests were selected because, quite frankly, I find their stories and lives interesting. I also found that they possess qualities I find rare in an individual, a passion for what they do, and the determination to see it through. They obviously have made strong decisions early in their lives that led them to their current successes and achievements. My goal in interviewing guests here is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions. And this will allow you as my listeners to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen and enjoy. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments or your questions. Our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. If you want to get called on, simply press 1 to raise your hand. Now, the guest on my show tonight is a very special lady. I met her out in San Francisco. Her name is Valerie Coleman Morris. She's a former CNN domestic and international anchorwoman. And she currently spreads the gospel, however, about money and ways to get it and keep it. And she spent 15 years with CNN, and which was piped into more than 290 million households, businesses, and airport networks. And she still appears on CNN from time to time as a personal finance expert with a unique point of view about money. Now, I'll tell you up front, Ms. Morris is not a numbers cruncher, she tells me, and she's not someone who's going to, you know, talk about numbers and talk about things that most people find, at least I do, find a little bit dry and boring. She's written a book, it's called Mind Over Money Matters. It's your money, so take it personally, and it will be published this year. And she gives a multi-generational approach and mindset for financial behavior. In other words, ways to change your behavior to fit your finances or to help your finances and to help your family's finances and to make a sustainable recovery from this thing we've got going on called a recession. And I'll let her tell you a little bit more about it. She's an Air Force kid born in Philadelphia, and I'm going to bring her on the line. Welcome, Valerie. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I've looked forward to this conversation since we met in San Francisco.
I certainly have as well, and you quite intrigued me because when I hear about financial matters, and you can ask my wife, I just sort of, my eyes sort of glaze over and I start, you know, my speech starts slurring and I get a little bit strange when you start talking about financial matters. But I noticed that you tend to bring it down home. You tend to bring it down to the personal level. And I was very intrigued with some of the stories that you told about how you got started and when you were very young in Philadelphia. You want to talk a little bit about that, how you got started, how you got into this field, and what interested you and some of the major turning points that happened along the way?
Oh, there are so many good questions in that one. Let's take them just a bit one at a time. Would you like for me to start with my beginning in Philadelphia? Because I am the proud Air Force brat, as we are called,
right,
and call ourselves. My late father was a retired lieutenant colonel, Air Force. He and my mom had made the Air Force their life, and I was therefore on the road as an Air Force kid from the age of 6 weeks, and I have traveled ever since. My parents always made me feel that wherever we were was home. And so for me, home was always where the furniture was familiar and my mom and dad were around. I have one younger brother, since deceased, but he was 11 years younger than me. So you can imagine my joy at being able to have a real-life baby doll to be able to enjoy all of our jaunts around the world. I lived in England, France, Scotland, and Japan by the time I was a junior in high school. And with Air Force kids or military kids, you either absolutely love it or you absolutely hate it. I loved it. So that was my beginning.
That's great. We're with Valerie Coleman Morris. She's an Air Force kid. She's also written a book, Mind Over Money Matters. It's your money, so take it personally. She's a guest on the show today. I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself a little bit because I just started the recording. I forgot to set that recording there. So we're getting started again. And she's on the show today talking a little bit about money. We're not going to talk about the dry stuff about crunching numbers. We're talking about her life and what got her started, some of the interesting stories that she has to share. You had one story that you shared in San Francisco, Valerie. You want to share that one again about how you first got introduced to money and what it all meant to you?
You mean the one as a kid where my cousins were torturing me?
Yeah, that one.
Well, because I was the Air Force kid, number one, my father's family was a huge family. He was one of 11 children. Hmm. And so I had dozens. I mean, I think the last time we counted, I had 51 first cousins. So it was a huge family. And I was, and my brother and I, we were the only ones who were the ones who lived somewhere else. And so we came back to Philadelphia about every 3 or 4 years when my father finished his overseas assignment and we did R&R before going to our next assignment. So we went to Philly, and my two cousins, we were out, and I was getting ready to buy a Coca-Cola. And, yes, I'm dating myself because it was a quarter at the time for a bottle of Coke. And instead, because we had just come back from England, I instead tried to put an English shilling into the slot where the quarter went. And my cousins were hysterical. They just thought this was the silliest thing they had ever seen. And I was totally embarrassed. When they finally stopped laughing, they said, okay, we know it's silver, we know it looks the same, but it isn't, and here's American money. The reality was I had started school in England. I knew pounds, shillings, and pence. I knew francs, and I knew this thing called script, which was paper money. That was the military money that was used on base when you're overseas. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know dimes, nickels, dollars, quarters. So for me, that was an embarrassment that I still remember, and I was 8 years old. So even though I didn't start working intensely in the field of money as a financial journalist until many years later, that story has stayed in my mind for the necessity of always, from a very early age, understanding money and knowing it so that at least you could respond age appropriately, which at age 8, every kid in America would know the difference and what a quarter was, and I didn't. But it was a good memory of a bad situation.
Well, I guess you don't want to get paid in shillings these days, I take it.
But I know how to do the conversion.
That's right. You know how many shillings it would take anyway. So tell people a little bit about your book, Mind Over Money Matters. It sounds quite interesting, and how this approaches people's financial situations and what it would do for them.
The reason that I wrote the book, Mind Over Money Matters, It's Your Money, So Take It Personally, is because I knew at CNN the great information we were able to provide for people, but I knew also that there are emerging markets here in the United States that are just really beginning to feel their way through their money-related needs and issues, whether it is women, and even though women are starting businesses, you know, faster than one can imagine and employs more than half of the American workforce, women still are trapped with some old habits and old feelings about what we can and cannot do with money. So that was one market. The other was young people. Our young people are not getting their financial education in school. There are not, there's not a national average that says here are the courses that must be taught in order for students to be financially literate before they graduate from high school. So that was the other market. And then the third, the whole cultural overlay of the variety of people from different countries who are coming into the United States and or I am going to their countries and doing my work. And so, therefore, it was very important that people understand there are cultural overlays to money that oftentimes in mainstream media are just overlooked. There's not one size that fits all. So that's why I wrote this book. And the tagline, "It's your money, so take it personally," is my trademark. Because I believe that if every single person from cradle to grave realizes and remembers it is their money and therefore they should take it in a personal way, that will make us better stewards of it.
Good point. Good point. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the major, who are other than your cousins who laughed at you, who would be the major influencers in your life, the people who set you in that direction or influenced you in learning more about what you're talking about? Because it sounds fascinating. I just was curious as to some of the major influences in your life and how they helped you and what you remembered about.
Well, I have to break that into two, because the major influencers before I began working as a financial journalist and the major influencers from the time I began are actually two different groups. The influencers growing up, my parents, who fortunately determined and were committed to the fact that children should understand what keeps a family running and going and moving. And that means, you know, we needed to know about our money. And my parents would explain to me what the cost of things were, or they would explain to me the reason that I couldn't do something had a dollars and cents overlay. You know, there was a reason why this could not be done. And so they didn't speak to me as, "You've just got to do it," because they gave me a sense of value. Because, you know, the reality, Michael, everything has value. It's just that we don't learn about it necessarily early enough for us to be able to say that we understand and we can therefore apply this to us. We don't do that. And so that was the great thing that I was afforded the opportunity early on to know. Then, after being a reporter for, 20-plus years, I was in New York, and I got a call through my agent from Lou Dobbs. I'm sure your audience knows that name.
Oh, yeah, Lou Dobbs.
And Lou was starting this new thing on CNN called the Financial Network, and he wanted to talk to me about it. I turned down the invitation, not once, not twice. That was going for a third time. I love trilogies, and I tend to write in trilogies. And my agent said, "Lou said he wants you to come for lunch. Will you at least do that?" Because my reply to Lou was that, you know, I don't have a Wharton Business School degree. I didn't, you know, accounting wasn't my major, so forth and so on. I'm a journalist. To which, when I finally met with Lou, he said to me, "I have all the numbers crunchers. I have all the financial specialists. What I need is someone who can have living room conversations with people about money." And I went, "Oh, of course, I can do that," because that's what I do as a financial literacy journalist. I want to make sure that every single person can understand that it is their money and take it personally, and that every news story has a financial connection. What is it? What are your rights? What are your needs? How do you negotiate your money needs, and especially in the midst of trying to recover in a sustainable way from this recession?
That's so important, because I know, and you mentioned this about your parents, that they were a big influence for you. And I know, for example, when I was growing up, you know, my father was always worried about money and taxes, and my mother didn't understand money at all. She thought credit cards was a form of currency. And so that was when they were just coming out, and she was like, you know, like a kid in a candy store, and suddenly everything was just open to her. But and so I grew up with a mixed message about money. It was dangerous and it was easy, and usually they're both. Usually it's both. And so I've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations with that understanding. I'm finally coming to the point where I'm finally getting myself in order. And I know there are a lot of other people out there in the same boat. What I mean, for example, this thing that I told you about, the my eyes glazing over when I look at financial state or talk about money issues.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach that in your book? How do you talk to people who just don't even want to talk about money issues but know they have to? And do you put it in terms that people can understand and ways that people can just sort of really identify with what you're saying?
Oh, yes. And the most important thing is incremental. You know, I think the biggest problem is that the average person who's trying to get a life when it comes to their money, that person thinks that they have to do it all right now, completely, comprehensively, you know, it's done. And what they don't understand is that it took them a while to get into this situation, right?
Right.
And so, therefore, should they not be at least gentle with themselves, urgent, but gentle with themselves regarding how to get out of this situation? So
right.
That's the reason in my book, one of the things that I do is I talk about age-appropriate money moves. So what is it that you should be doing in your 20s? How then does what you learned in your 20s change for what you need to do in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and so on? Because everything needs to be a foundation. And upon that foundation, you build a very solid house. So
mm-hmm.
if I teach in your 20s that one of the best things you can do for yourself, number one, the priority is make sure you don't get in debt. But
mm-hmm.
the biggest thing I say to 20-year-olds, start saving for your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at me like I'm crazy. And they'll go, Ms. Mars, we're just starting to work. How can we even begin to do this? And I say it is not how much you save in your 20s for retirement as much as that you are committed to it and you become deliberate and diligent and depend on saving that money
right.
consistently and not touching it.
It's a habit.
So that good habits happen, because really in life we form good and bad habits, and any of them can rear their head at any time.
Right. Yeah, and I've noticed that habits are sometimes we don't even realize the power of habits, that once you start something and then you continue it for any length of time, like I started this radio program 2 years ago, and suddenly I just keep doing it every week, and it's just like I couldn't think of stopping and doing it. And so it's one of those things where you just do it until you just keep doing it. It becomes a way of life. And I notice in some of my work, what I do is go in and discover some of the early decisions that we've made. In fact, that's what this show is about. What are some of the early decisions you've made? And I noticed that you had a very good environment in which to make decisions about money, whereas some people may not have had as good an environment. But there's still a way of changing those decisions, those early decisions, and that's what the logical soul work and what I call money matrix method is all about. But that's another topic. But I was curious, if Valerie, if you don't mind, to go in a little bit more about your work on CNN and how you approach your audience. I may have seen you then. I don't remember. I didn't tune into CNN too often, but
tell
us a little bit more about that.
When you were traveling, as much traveling as I know you do, were you ever sitting and you would be in the boarding lounge and you would look up and see a CNN report on the air?
Oh, yeah, I watched CNN at the airport. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, those money messages were on the airport network as well, because the reality, one of the things that I feel that CNN always did very well and still does, is understanding that money is across all fields and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so within those airport reports that I used to do and that are still on the air, we always will have a money connection as well. But, you know, more specifically to answer kind of an inner money management mantra for me,
mm-hmm.
Again, my dad, and I'm this Air Force kid, and I remember very early on my father saying to me when I was having a tough time making a decision on something, and I mean, I was young, I was in grade school, and he said to me, Valerie, why does a car have a rearview mirror? To which I learned the proper response was, so you know where you come from, Dad. And he would say, that's right. But what happens if you look in the rearview mirror too long? And the answer was, you won't know what you run into. The answer wasn't that you'll have an accident. It was that you won't know what you run into, which to me was a very positive, forward-thinking kind of mentality. And that's the way I look at money today. And as I talk to people about how do they wrap their mind around a concept that can help them recover from this horrible recession and recover in a sustainable way, I always tell that story about the rearview mirror, because so many people will say to me, oh, but my 401k lost X number of dollars. Oh, my goodness, I had to go into my retirement account for this. What do I do now? And my thing is, that's a rearview mirror approach. Be forward thinking. Yes, you did lose that money, but you can't get it back unless you look forward and you say, the next time company X the stock is at this price that I can afford, I am going to buy X number of shares of that company because the prices have never been lower, or it's because I've always wanted to own that company. So you set forward-thinking goals that will ultimately help you recover from whatever your rearview mirror losses might be.
Fascinating. Good advice. Really, really good advice. We're talking with Valerie Coleman Morris, and she's a financial advisor, and she puts it in human terms, and she's got a book, and that book is called, let's see, hold on a second, I just lost my notes here, sorry about that.
That's okay, not a problem. It's called Mind Over Money Matters. It's your money, so take it personally.
How can people get a copy of that, Valerie?
Well, right now it is actually available on Kindle, on Amazon. So if you put my name into the search bar in Amazon.com, it'll go right to my book. You'll see the hardcover that's there. The hardcover is set for a publication the end of March, 1st of April. But as all authors always say, until you have a book in your hand, right, we hate to say this is
right.
A pub date because it can change so many times. But the Kindle version is available right now on Amazon, on Kindle.
Excellent.
And Kindle for PC.
Excellent. That's a great way to go. Is there a website that people can get go to find out more information about what you're talking about?
You know those three names of mine that you've been saying, and I appreciate that there's no hyphen between it. Because sometimes in print they put one. That's my website. It's ValerieColemanMorris.com. And on that website, you'll find it's the repository of my work. So you'll be able to find money tips for women. You'll be able to see the various reports that I've done for The View. I did a segment for The View. I also did local The View from the Bay here in the Bay Area. It has my appearance schedule wherever I'm going to be, wherever I have spoken. And additionally, you can click right on for free and listen to my CBS radio reports, which I've done for the past 25 years. Three reports a week, and that's called With the Family in Mind. And it talks about financial concerns for the entire family.
That's great. That's really good. This is such a needed thing, Valerie. I know you're going to be very successful at this because there's so many people that need what you have to talk about. And money issues just remain probably the most important misunderstood topics around. We've got a few more minutes here. If you want to talk to Valerie or ask her a question, our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. And press 1 to raise your hand. So, Valerie, is there anything else that you want to add to your experiences or anything that you want to talk about that maybe we haven't covered yet?
Well, I think it's very important to address women, because women handle about 65% to 70% of the world's wealth. Not that we own it, but you heard the word I used, handle it. We are the ones that most often are spending the money. And now we are making that money as well. More women are college educated than men. We see more women are starting businesses. We see more women who, because widowhood in this country is just 55 years and a couple of months is the average age of widowhood. I talk to women because I say you need to understand your money now and going forward. And the reality is that women are more vulnerable financially as we age. And that's because we have lower earnings. We have different work patterns than men. We also, while men have more acute illnesses and die sooner, your medical needs tend to be covered under insurance plans and Medicare, whereas women, on the other hand, we spend more out-of-pocket health care.
Right.
Because we have more chronic illnesses at midlife. Women also, we live 5 years on average longer than men. So that means that we have to factor in longer life expectancy and really carefully plan the rate at which we spend our savings. And then finally, our marital status is a big factor regarding women in retirement. 90% of women are going to live alone at some point in our lives, but widowed and divorced women are 3 to 4 times more likely to be poor than women in couples. So
wow.
It's your money, so take it personally for women. The day is up. Where
wow.
women or you, Michael, can say, you know, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You really can. Go incremental
sure.
and do it with a sense of urgency.
Right. That's such good advice, Valerie. Thank you so much for sharing that. So this is all in your book, and you cover all that. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, I do. Absolutely.
Great. Well, it sounds like a really fascinating book, and I wish you the best on that. And I'd love to have you come back on the show and tell us how it went and give us an update sometime next year. So.
That would be lovely. I wish you well. I thank you very much for the opportunity to have a chat with you on your show. And to all your listeners, keep listening. Obviously, this is a great need, and it's lovely to be able to have conversations where you're just talking to real people like real people.
Yes, I'm having a little trouble with my speaker, so I just missed that last statement somehow or another.
Oh,
I think the voice is coming across the speaker for everybody except me for some reason. I noticed this started last week, but right now. So say that one more time. I'm sorry to have ask you to repeat yourself.
I am just saying that I'm glad to have had this conversation with you and to be able to speak to real people. You know, just
right.
a real person speaking to real people. And one final thing, if you hear anybody, any of your listeners, if you have a friend who says, oh, I just can't wait till we get back to normal, please tell them, stop.
Mm.
We don't want to get back to normal. That back to normal is what got us in trouble. That's what led to the recession. It was a predatory environment. Instead, say to them, let's find our new normal when it comes to managing our money.
Well, most people think normal is when I'm not hurting, and I guess that's the definition of what that means. But again, you're right. I mean, if we're so in debt and we don't, and things are happening, and there's all sorts of corruption and stuff going on, that's not the normal we want to see, obviously. So, yeah, I think recessions are ways of, you know, the market's just shaking it out and getting rid of the debris, and it's sort of like beating the rug, you know. Got to take the rug out of the sunshine and beat it a little bit, get the fleas and everything, dust and everything else out of it, and then you can take it back in the house. But your advice is so valuable, Valerie. Thank you so much for sharing. And if you'll hold on just a few minutes, I just want to talk about next week's guest, and then we'll have the music come on, and then we'll have our outtake moments where if you're listening to this on a podcast, you can hear a few more points that we're making here. I'm speaking with Valerie Coleman Morris. She's the author of let's see, I've got it right here. It's Mind Over Money Matters. It's your money, so take it personally. She's an Army brat. She was a former CNN anchorwoman.
Air Force.
And,
you have to say the right brand. I'm an Air Force brat, not an Army one.
That's right. So hang on for just 1 minute. Next week we've got another money person coming on. Valerie, you may know her, Glenda Bridgeforth. She's going to be talking about her book called Get Your Money Straight. And
absolutely. I know Glenda very well, and she is just an excellent resource.
Probably know Glenda. Very good. And I'm going to have her on the show. So we've got two powerful financial women back-to-back here, and we're going to be talking about money 2 weeks in a row. So this is our time to get our money straight and get things really going. And this is good for men and women because this subject touches the lives of everyone, every family, every couple. And so I urge you to tune in next week as well. That's Tuesday, and that would be are we getting into March? Oh, my goodness.
It would be March 1st.
Yeah, it'll be March the 1st at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, or if you're in California, 3 o'clock Pacific time. So, again, Valerie, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We've got about 60 seconds here, and we're going to have some music come on. So if you'll just hang on there. And again, if you want to call us, call in. If you want to ask Valerie a question, 347-843-4544. You can hang on after the music and ask your question then. So thanks again, Valerie, and I look forward to talking to you actually in a few minutes. Okay, Valerie, are you there?
I'm here.
My speakers are just really strange. Say something.
Yeah, it's Valerie, and I'm right here.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right, right. It sounds like you're talking through a tin can, or and it's got all this twang and echo and everything going on. I was barely hearing you for the last 5 to 10 minutes there, so I apologize. I hung on as much as I could. At any rate, I think the audience hears you fine, from what I understand, because I listened to the podcast afterwards, and the only one that couldn't hear anything is me. So, okay. I'm doing the best I can here. So is there anything you wanted to add before we call it a day? You had very good information, by the way, and I was just wondering if you wanted to add something else from your book while we've got just a few minutes here.
I think that it's very important that we think of money as a family matter, and that means from a very early age we should start teaching our children. And if we don't do that, then our children – we will be contributing to our children becoming consumers of debt rather than producers of wealth. So have conversations with your children about money. My grandchildren know that if they say to me they need something, that I will say to them, is this a need or is this a want? You can have that conversation with children at the age of 3 and 4.
Right.
So that they begin to understand it. Because you know what? There are some adults who never understood the difference, and that's the reason that they do what they do with their money. So
Right. Think
of it as every opportunity to have a conversation with children about money, to continue the conversation, and to move forward in a very deliberate manner, which includes if mom or dad loses their job, please don't say, don't tell the kids. Tell the kids. So that the kids will understand that a job loss doesn't mean that their parent isn't going to be there or their parent isn't a good person. It is that a job loss is something that happens, and here's what we're going to do. Or the reason that we need to cut back is because we don't have as much money. We're still fine. We have each other. We're fortunate in that. It's also a way to talk about other assets. You know, there are emotional assets as well as financial assets. And they both need deposits into those things regularly.
That's such an important thing, Valerie. Education of the family, education of children, that's such a vital element to our money, our ability to deal with money, which is such an integral part of who we are. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you so much again for joining me. And I look forward to seeing you again, maybe in California.
Awesome.
I may be coming out there this year. So
that would be great.
Hope to see you again.
You be well. Take care, and good luck, everybody. Remember, it's your money, so take it personally.
I got that. Thank you so much. Have
bye-bye
a great week. Bye-bye.